Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hi, and welcome to today's edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is Linux Link Tech Show edition number 16. I finally got it right this time. Everybody, I want you to take it just a minute to get connected to our IRC chat line that is putting your favorite chat client to the linuxlink.net and joining us here today at Channel Pound Tech Show. And while you're doing that, we will get everything ready. We have lots to talk about tonight. And we'll be right back after these messages. Well, we don't have any messages, do we?
Yes, we do. We're right here.
Okay, here's our messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product. Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining Channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there is the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal of Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux Users Group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
Hi again, and welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, edition number 16 on this fine and cold January evening, January 21st, at 9 p.m., in case you're not listening live, which you should be. My name is Link Fessenden, and I'm your host here at the Linux Link Tech Show, along with our friends and co-hosts Dan Washko and Alan Metzler. How are you doing tonight, guys?
Hello.
How are you?
Wow, talkative.
Yes, 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 as always.
I know that everybody's just busting with news and things that they want to talk about tonight. So I would just step right out of the way. I know Alan has a whole bunch of stuff he wants to talk about. Alan?
Not a whole bunch of stuff, but I have a couple. I just dug up some news before, because, like, you know, the normal 5 minutes before the show starts. My preparation.
Our normal prep time, yeah.
Normal prep time for us
we
is 5 minutes.
We come here an hour
here.
Early so we can all socialize, and then 5 minutes before the show, we hurriedly run around
we
and
panic.
Scramble for something to talk about.
But anyways, I dug up a couple of news things here. D'Souza, or however you want to pronounce it, whatever.
Souza. One of them.
Announced at the Linux show today that they upgraded their security certification. God, I started off with a good one here.
Say that three times fast, huh?
EAL3 now, which allows them to sell to the government. I thought was a really good thing.
Maybe to our government.
To our government, it says here.
Wow, because that's a German distribution, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Dan.
as I'm sucking down the water here trying to talk. Thanks, Dan. But yeah, it allows them to sell...
Thanks for me dropping the bomb and just saying, okay, Ellen, take it away!
Yeah.
Okay, I totally lost it. Dan can have it for a little bit here while I stop the laughing here and get my composure back. But anyways, I thought that was interesting.
Once you get us started, you won't shut up. Dan can have it. Whatever.
Dan can have it, but no, what I was really talking about. All right, so they're upgraded so they can sell to our government.
You can sell to our government, and the article also says that Red Hat is also going to be doing the same thing. They're trying to achieve the EAL2 certification, but it hasn't announced approval of that yet. So that was interesting.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So we're going to have a large preponderance of SUSE using government employees. Hey, as long as they're using...
As long as it's not using Microsoft, yes.
As long as they're not using Windows, I'm happy about that. What horrifies me is, like, when I, I work, they have a lot of Microsoft users, and it horrifies me every time I hear these different email viruses that are going around. You just know. I mean, you just know that they're going to... hit, like, you know, 80% of the people that run Microsoft in the shop.
Because everyone will click on the button that says, click
sure,
me here.
Sure, and, you know, if people...
Open this great screensaver.
As stupid as some of the users are, they will do intentionally bad things. Like, you'll tell them, you know, make sure that you disable having anything run automatically from your email, having any application launch from your email, because that's how viruses are propagated. And you know what? One day down the line, a couple months, somebody, one of their buddies is going to be sending them something that they'll want to run straight from their email, so they'll disable that. And then the next virus goes around 3 days later, and blam, not only do they have it, but they're sending it to everybody in the company, like four or five times.
Yeah, especially when you got a large company, you know, 400 or 500 people, that's not really good.
Oh, yeah, and the worst part, you know, if you have a lot of people in your company and you have, like, one mail server for all these people, well, most companies do have one mail server. You know, I've met a lot of people who have a company and multiple mail servers, even though it's probably a good idea. But I digress. If you have a company full of people and one mail server and they're all sending each other, you know, 500 people sending 500 emails to each other.
It's going to grind to a halt really
fast. That's right, man. And it's done it more than once at work where, it, you know, we just had computers that were just throwing the viruses out as fast as they could, throwing emails out to everybody in the address book, and the mail just stops. It grinds it right down, and it takes, you know, 2 days for them to clean everything out and get it going again because you have to have somebody in there playing with Outlook's mail program, and it's real pain in the butt.
Yeah, we had one a couple months ago that brought down the network, and actually came from within the company. It was a laptop that was brought in that hadn't been upgraded in quite a while. I plugged it into the network, and it immediately went to town and brought down the whole Windows side of the network.
Cool. So what was that other thing you had there?
Oh, speaking of viruses,
what?
I've been having a proliferation of patches coming from Microsoft. It's the first I've ever received patches from Microsoft.
But they're not from Microsoft, right?
They come from coming to mail to me. And I've been applying every single one.
I get 40 of them a day, man.
Oh, no, have they been getting dumped into the spam folder for you? Or being flagged as spam?
A lot of them come flagged as spam, yeah, but a lot of them don't. And the ones that don't... See, I run Pine as my email client.
Right.
So I just have a filter through Pine, and it looks for that... Microsoft updaters, three or four different strings I put in there. And Pine grabs it and throws it into a spam folder for me where I can just delete them, you know.
You can just narrow it down on anything that has like Microsoft that. In it.
Well, you know
what? Just actually, that's all you need.
You should can actually look for that Audio X Wave thing.
Right.
As your content thing in there, too, and that'll...
I've given up. I've just decided to flag everything from Microsoft as being spam, except for MSN, because I know your wife is still on MSN.
No. Hotmail.
Hotmail, that's right.
Hotmail.
Oh, then I can ban MSN.
Yeah, you can do MSN. She's on Hotmail. And we need to go about convincing her that she needs to probably have an account on the LinuxLink.net anyway. But that's a different
story. I kicked
story.
My wife off the Hotmail one, so finally got her account
you
with
kicked
RTM.
Your wife?
Well, yeah.
This is not a regular forum for that kind of thing, man. You can get in trouble. What if there's, you know, people listening or something?
No, I kicked my wife off of him. Well, that could be taken the wrong way, too. I kicked my wife off.
Yeah. What do we got going on the IRC channel? Wow. All kinds of people just popped on IRC. Well, probably not popped on because I really wasn't paying attention to it. But we do have a couple of people on there now anyway.
Yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you take us three out, that's 4.
Yeah, 4.
It's our regular audience.
Yes, and we have 5 listeners live, and if you take us out,
that's 2, 3
listeners live.
We're still beginning. Yes. We got to get the word. We're running around the Linux show on Friday with flyers for everybody. Bring Dan's server to a halt.
Yes, which brings up a good news item. One of the things I was going to talk about in a roundabout sort of way. I know that a lot of the people who listen to us are also avid listeners of the Linux show, which is also a good show, and would be better if they would actually advertise us too. But for those of you who do listen to the Linux show, you will notice, and for those of you who don't, you really should take a listen to it, you will notice that they did not do a show yesterday, and that's because they are broadcasting live from the Linux World Expo this week, which is another of my news items that I wanted to mention. That started in its entirety, I guess, today.
Dude, we're broadcasting live from there right now.
Yeah.
listen.
They're only an hour away.
Yes.
No. Thank you. No, really. The Linux World Expo started today in New York City, and if you have not made it to the Linux World Expo yet, and you live in this area, and by this area I mean eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, you might want to get down to this one, because next year I hear tell it's moving far, far away to the land of Connecticut, right? No, Massachusetts.
Boston,
Massachusetts.
Connecticut.
And it will be there. Yeah, I have Connecticut on the brain.
That means next year we'll be sharing a room together.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Wear something tight. But the Linux World Expo is going on today, tomorrow, and Friday when we're all actually going. And it's going on in New York City at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. So by all means, if you can get away on Friday, meet us there. You'll You'll see our ugly mugs running around with a bunch of even uglier guys from the lug.
We're going to be popular on the bus.
Yeah.
Now, they'll never know because...
Because they never listen, yeah. Now, we're going to be there on Friday, and of course, you'll know who we are because you've looked at our website and saw our pictures. And if you happen to bump into us at the Expo on Friday, give a yell and say hello, and we'll have some good fun. At any rate, what kinds of good things? Do you have any good things to talk about today?
But we won't be dressed like Dan's pictures.
Yeah, we won't be dressed like Dan's pictures. Well, you know, maybe Dan will in his little bikini that I put him in, but, you know.
Yep.
Dan's time is monopolized.
Monopolized.
No, I'm inventing a new word. It's Anyway, monopolized. He's taking care of our little chat thing going on for us. And probably making fun of me because I'm not looking.
All right. Is it my turn for my news?
Yeah. You can interject anytime, man.
My news.
Your news.
Maybe I'll do what Alan does and just go right to NewsForge and read the first article that pops up.
I tend to go at least midway down the page.
He skips a couple. Come on.
That's going to be too obvious. You know what I've noticed about NewsForge in the past week or so, more so than before, and maybe it's because of Linux World Expo, but it just seems the news articles just go flying off the page. I mean, you go there at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you go there at 12, and all those articles that were at 10 o'clock are all gone. And I do like to read the replies that people post, because sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're informative, but nobody's replying anymore because the articles are just going by too fast.
They're gone. Oh.
But that's NewsForge.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
And you know what?
What?
We should have another contest. We should have a contest to figure out which piece of my laptop's going to be gone by the next show.
Now, you got to tell them about your laptop.
Dan's incredible exploding laptop.
Dan's ever-diminishing laptop is what it is.
Oh, my laptop. It's a sad thing. It's not really mine because it's my mother-in-law's. Well, it's not. She gave it to us.
She keeps sending pieces back as they break off.
Might as well. We've had this thing since...
More money, Mom, or another piece comes off.
We're holding it hostage.
I send you a CD drive next time. Yeah.
It's a nice Dell Pentium 3 laptop. It's been running really well for a while, just has Linux on it.
It runs outstanding, considering, yeah.
Well, you know, about...
The
what was
you
it?
Give it, yeah.
Right around the holiday, what was the first piece? Oh, right before the holiday, sometime at the beginning of December, the network card, the plastic case on it broke, and you could pull it off. And then that was the 1 week. And then the following week, that plastic was gone.
Gone.
And then the third week, there was a big chunk taken out of the side. You could actually look in and see the circuits and everything. Oh. And now we're at the point where the space bar's gone. The space bar got ripped off. It's like, you know, it's funny that when you guys come over every week to see what new piece is going on. But, you know, it's not, you know, I go down there and I'm like, oh, I'm going to use the laptop. And there's another piece missing. It's like, what the heck? What are they doing to it all day?
Yeah, this is like lawn gnomes coming in and disassembling on you.
I come down.
No, it's like you're playing shuffleboard on the new floor, you know? Shoo.
Like, come down, you know, like look, or I come home from work and the laptop's like dangling on the edge of the couch, ready to fall on the floor, like a 4 foot drop to the floor. It's like, oh, come on. You know, the baby's over there kicking the arm of the couch where it's sitting while she's watching TV or something. Oh, that's it.
That's funny, man.
I think it's going to be. It just wraps saran wrap around it eventually.
Oh, yeah, man. That pack, that clear packing tape stuff, that does wonders, I'm telling you.
I'm waiting for the screen
duct
to go.
Duct tape is even better.
Duct tape.
Duct tape will fix anything.
I'll make a space bar out of duct tape.
Yeah, man. You just, you know.
I found the space bar.
I still said Legos.
Legos. I found the space bar. I found it stuffed down between the cushions of the couch.
But it's in several pieces right now.
I can't get it back on for some reason. I can't... And, at this point, I don't even know what happened to
it.
Well,
you know, chances are they didn't, like, take it off real nice. They probably ripped it right off. And, you know,
dude, what's
hence
this?
It probably won't. But I will have to say, and you know, for those of you who have a need of a used laptop, and you might want to have, like, a rugged kind of laptop to use to carry around with you.
What brand is
Dan's? Like, yeah, like Dan said, this is a Dell laptop, and this thing really gets the hell beat out of it, and it still works, man. It still works just fine. Well, and you know, as long as you can press that little hole for the space bar, I guess. But everything else seems to do pretty good, and Dan uses it every week for the tech show without a problem, so.
Except for this week.
Except for this week, but that's because I'm retarded and I left my power brick home for my Dell laptop. So Dan was nice enough to forego using his broken laptop and let me use the power brick, and he's using his shiny Macintosh that he's got. His titanium.
Shiny happy power book there.
Yeah.
Shiny happy power
some
book
people,
everywhere.
Yeah, some people have like that kind of money where they can go out and buy themselves.
Some people had that kind of money and now they're broke.
Yeah.
Next week you come, we'll be drinking Dr. Thunder from Walmart instead of Dr. Pepper. Dr. Thunder.
Hey, man.
And what's the other one? Mountain Frost?
Mountain Oysters, yeah. Mountain Frost.
Mountain Frost.
Is that Mountain Dew knockoff thing?
Yeah, Dr. Thunder, Mountain Frost. There's a couple others. Squish or something, I don't know.
Cranked. This is one I see in 7-Eleven all the time.
Cranked. Oh, yeah, that's something I want to drink in the morning.
Huh? It's a caffeinated power drink, according to the advertisements. I haven't tried it yet. I can just imagine getting like an incredible migraine from drinking caffeine like that first thing in the morning.
So what do we have going on over there on IRC, Dan?
I don't know.
No,
I'm,
you haven't been watching?
I'm trying to do the show. I don't have time to watch.
Trying to do the show. Okay. It looks like we have a whole lot of stuff going on IRC. And
yeah, there is. There's a lot of people on, actually. There's more people on the IRC than are on the show.
There's people talking around there. I really haven't had a chance to look at it yet. However, if you, the folks who are not listening right now and who are not on IRC, would like to find out what's going on, please visit our webpage and follow the link for the archives. And in there, you're going to find not only this wonderful show in MP3 and or OGG format that you, of course, download every week to listen to, but you're also going to find a file or maybe two with the IRC chat logs in them, one of which is done in HTML and colored HTML by our friend Moondog, who actually is on IRC tonight, of course, so that he can do our chat log for us. And the other one I pick up real easy through, XChat. It has a little logging feature, and it's just a plain text kind of thing. But anyway, whichever you prefer, you're going to find them in the Tech Show archives, and have a blast, and by all means, you know, come join us sometime on IRC and let us talk back and forth with you. And on that note, what else do we have kind of good stuff to talk about tonight? Something interesting news. I have one right here. And it is, there's an article in Yahoo News that I saw today from the Associated Press that the RIAA, that's the Recording Industry Association of America, has filed a huge lawsuit where it is trying to sue 532 computer users that it says are illegally distributing songs over the Internet. And these guys, I think the article mentions, these are people that it said had or distributing over 800 songs or something like that. Distributing an average of more than 800 songs online, the article says. Again, for those of you who are really, really paranoid about this, they're right now they're suing people named, the entire lawsuit is in the name of John Doe. There are all these John Doe lawsuits. And they're suing people based on their IP address. Now, I don't know exactly how they're going to pull this kind of thing off because, like, if you're... And they'd have to have dates or something, too. But if the lawsuit only specifies an IP address for John Doe, what happens if it's a what happens if it's a dynamic address?
I was going to say, yeah, they're just doing on it because I know
they would have to have a date and time, right, so that they could finger the address to the actual person.
To the person, yeah.
Because if it's dynamic IP address and all they have is the IP address, well, it could be 100 million different people.
I was thinking, but the IPs don't have to give them the name and address of the people anymore, do they? Because I thought they lost that. That part of the lawsuit
they lost that before, but what happened was I think that the courts decided that they can't force internet service providers to actually give the names of these people out based on IP address before a lawsuit. See, okay. But now when they file the lawsuit, then they can subpoena them for the names of the people.
Okay.
But what I'm thinking is, like, they can't just file a lawsuit with John Doe at such and such an IP address without including a time. They would lose right out automatically because
you can't timestamp.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a timestamp on it right then and there, you can't prove who the person was. Could be anybody.
Could be Dan.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
Right.
Could be Dan, even.
I don't know, Dan Roscoe is
like the king of, illegal MP3 files or whatever. Just, what do you got? Like 4 or 5 terabytes here, right? Just serve them up all over the world
the pile and pile of servers in the corner, keeping the house warm.
Over your 136 baud connection or whatever it is to the internet.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, Microsoft is going through a round of suits, too, and SCO. Microsoft's suing everybody that has a domain name that resembles theirs.
Pretty much, yeah.
And SCO is suing everybody.
SCO is just suing that they've given up. They have given up totally trying to do any kind of product line. Their product line now is lawsuits. And
serving.
I really am waiting. Yeah, I'm waiting for them to change their webpage. It's just SCO, the company that sues you, or something like that.
Click here to be sued.
Yeah, click here to be sued. Click here to buy an anti-indemnification certificate,
For $666 or something.
$600, and we will promise not to sue you for the next 30 days or something like that. Or to name you in any miscellaneous lawsuits or, it's just a... It really is a circus and really ridiculous at this point in time. And I think any intelligent person knows this too. I think that they really are finally realizing that they're going down the toilet.
How much money can we make before we go down the toilet?
Yeah, but then again, if you look at this stuff, all the judges are turning against them too because they won't provide any evidence of any of this supposed wrongdoing. And everybody, and they're pulling this lawsuit crap all over the place. And all the judges in all the other countries are doing the same thing, going, all right, where's the evidence? And, you got to come up with something. You just can't go flinging lawsuits around with nothing to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep going and going and going. It's like, this is the joke company of the millennium, I think. But
definitely a joke company.
I mean, outside of our favorite software operating system manufacturer, Microsoft, which, that Microsoft, that's the difference between SCO. Microsoft wants to give you something for ripping you off, and SCO does not.
SCO just
wants to rip you off. There's no, product kind of thing going on. They just want to get into your wallet. Microsoft says, look at here, I got a shiny CD, won't you let me into your wallet? And SCO just says, just give me the damn wallet,
Because the shiny CD makes it home a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And, it's a sad thing. But, on that kind of note, I am glad that we're, like I said before, we're all going to the Linux World Expo this Friday. to have, you know, we're going to have a good time. And I for one, am going to be happy to go down there and check out. We always go just to, like, the expo part, the free part that we can get into.
That's all we can afford.
And, yeah, being poor, you know, being poor Linux kind of people, we go to the free part that we can afford. But I like going to the expo, and I like checking out all, like, all the products and stuff that they have. And you talk to the companies about the new stuff they're developing on Linux. And they just, some of the most incredible stuff they get going on.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a good time, and I know that...
Dan's looking forward to it because he needs new shirts.
Yeah. Dan needs some new
shirts. And a calendar.
I need some new T-shirts, and I could use... you know what I could use?
A calendar?
A couple of times ago, we went to the expo, and the IRS was there. Do you remember?
I think that was that web thing we went
to. Was it the web thing? Anyway,
yes.
Dan and I went to one of these expos down there, and they had... The IRS was there, and they were handing out software. It must have been the web thing, because they were handing out there was Microsoft software. But anyway, they're handing out software, and with the software, they're handing out these lunch bags, man. And I grabbed one of these lunch bags, and I've been using it for like 2 years. I've been using this thing hard, so I've been, you know, people are like scared of me because I walk into work with an IRS lunch bag, right? But at any rate, my IRS lunch bag, which has seen better days, is really in need of replacing. So if you are, you know, if you happen to be a member of the IRS and you find any of them little black lunch bags laying around, man, you make sure you send one up here and we'll hook you up. We'll make an IRS link right off of the tax show website or something, you know, just to get you going.
Of course, there's always swag.
Yeah, the swag. That's the good stuff. Well, I do like going to the show and checking out the new stuff that's going
on. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The swag is cool, too. I mean, and you know what? Let's be honest. I get disappointed when they have bad swag. You know. Because that's an important
like,
thing.
Like the red hat the 1 year?
Yeah, the red hat. The red hat. The bastards wouldn't give me a red hat 1 year. Because they're, you know, they're just nasty bastards. But now, I run Slackware, so... don't need no stinking red hat.
We don't need no stinking red hat.
Don't need
I hate when they make you... have to go around to the things and fill out a card.
Oh, you got
to
fill out the card four times to get a pencil or something like that.
Because you
walk around their site for like 25 minutes to get a pencil.
After a while, you just like.
Yeah,
oh,
but on
come
a Friday,
on.
They pretty much look at you and just like stamp the card and
literally
go on.
You bring it up to them, I don't have anything to say to you. I'm not going to pay $4,000 for a Linux video editing solution. Just stamp my card.
You would have
the trick is when you hit those places at like. You know, 2 hours before the show closes or an hour before the show closes on Friday. That's the last day. I mean, they're trying to get rid of this crap. They will give you the chairs, man, to try and get rid of. There's something else that they don't have to, like, load back in the van that night, right? But, you know, go around there and then just hit them up for whatever they have, and they're happy to get rid of it at that point.
I think Dan has been discovered here.
Uh-oh. Somebody found out that Dan is not playing...
Dan's alter ego is on the chat line.
What?
What?
What? I think it's time to go to our intermission song.
Actually, it is an intermission song, Bob. While you're loading it on there, let me... Do you have it on there yet? Yeah, you do. Let me give him a quick intro on it. Our intermission song tonight is called Sleep by a group called Tree Wave. That's T-R-E-E Wave. W-A-V-E. And... I found this, actually, some guys on another list I'm on pointed a group out to me, and I checked them out, and they had some really interesting stuff. Now, when you listen to this song, I know you're going to think it's sort of really techno-ish and maybe kind of cheesy and 8-bit sort of sounding. Well, that's really because it is, and that's the reason that I picked these guys out. This group actually performs their music. All of their music is done by you're going to love this. It's done by a Commodore 64...
Oh, cool.
An Atari 2600 and a 286 that's driving an 80-column printer. Yeah, like they print out different characters for the different tones and stuff like that. It's really cool. And then some chick who sings, and, you know, she's all right, I guess. But I was interested
website?
In the music. It's the website is www.treewave.com. That's TREEWAVE.com. Check them out. Even the website is like, you know, real 8-bit-ish kind of thing. But it's pretty cool, man. And Here we go with our intermission song. We'll be back in approximately 3 minutes to finish out the show. Enjoy.
Word. And we're back. Sorry about that. We accidentally had the one song on loop. That was Sleep by the Tree Wave. Sleep by the Tree. A wave that was converted into an MP3. Did you do that, Link? Did you convert it into an MP3?
No. Sleep by Tree Wave.
Sleep by Tree Wave.
The group is called Tree Wave.
Oh, I should have been paying attention instead of screwing around on the chat.
Messing around on IRC. Doesn't know what's going on.
Well, we're back. For our 16th show?
16 episodes. And you know what that means,
episodes.
Boys and girls?
Next week, 17.
I mean, 16 weeks, man. That's
4 months.
Months.
Excellent.
That's a long time.
Going
that's
strong.
Much longer than I figured it would go on. But, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I learned a valuable lesson of backups this past weekend.
I knew that was coming.
Yes.
I've been paying attention to your weblog.
Yes, that was a fun thing. Are you hearing us, Alan? Are we coming through?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just want to make sure. It was interesting that I went... We're converting our Novell 6 servers to 6.5, and... One of the requirements for 6.5 is you can't use a traditional volume structure anymore. You have to switch them all. They have to all be on a net NSS, which is their net storage solutions or whatever, new partition type. So we have to convert the old partitions to a new partition. And the only way that we could do that without paying gobs of money for a utility is to throw another hard drive in there and create an NSS partition and copy using their volume copy utility, copy the old partition to the new partition, new NSS. Well, what I did, really stupid thing, and you'd never think this would happen. I had the brain fart of an idea. Instead of going out and buying new hard drives, we had an old server that we upgraded a long time ago just laying around. It had 2 9-gig SCSI drives in. So I pulled the 1 SCSI drive out and popped it in the server, and it came up, and I was like, oh, well, we must have popped the disk with the SIS drive in it on there, because there was 2 SIS drives now. And we figured out, we'll just repartition that third drive, because there's no way it's booting off the regular SIS. We'll be okay. So we get a warning. It says, if you delete this drive, you won't have a SIS volume anymore, and you'll have to, you know, your server won't be usable. And we were like, you know, we're like,
it just, what? No, that can't be right.
I was over top of the button. My boss was, well, he's not my boss anymore, but the network engineer.
Not anymore.
The network engineer is standing behind me.
Because you're working at Burger King and he's working at McDonald's. That's why.
He's standing behind me and he's like, I don't know if we should do that. I'm like, it can't be the same drive. We must have just put the SIS drive. He's like, I don't think we did because it was the second drive. The SIS was on the first drive. We took the second drive out. So I'm like, okay, we won't do it. You know, and then sure enough, 5 minutes later, we're back at that same thing. And I'm like, I don't know. You think we should pull the old drive out and put the other one in and see what happens? Or should we just delete the partition? It's like, let's just delete it. So we delete the partition, and you get the warning. It'll delete your SIS volume. Well, why would it delete the SIS volume? It's on the other drive, right? We deleted it. It's gone. The whole both SIS volumes disappear. And he's over on the other computer. He's like, nah, there's nothing to worry about. It's all still here, you know? He's like running edit. He's in the SIS volume. So we reboot the machine. It never comes back. What happened, what I think has happened, it was really good. When we put this drive in, it had a SIS volume. So the operating system, for some reason, decided to span the SIS volume that was existing on the first drive across to the third drive. So it connected those two. Oh. And when we blew it away, that was it. Well, we did have a backup of, we switched to our new backup system a couple months ago, and we haven't been able to do successful backups. We did have
the
one.
Last backup you had was, what, the day before you switched?
Actually, that's true. That was one good backup. Then the other backup was done from January 12th, but we weren't sure how good that was. So it was the 16th, and what was interesting was this was a Friday night. I spent about an hour and a half trying to find some kind of utility or some way to get into the partition. Because the partition technically is still there, we thought, or some way to recover that partition, and there was nothing. I booted off the Nopix disk. There's no way to mount a NetWare partition under Linux or any other operating system that I know of. If you're mounting it, that's existing on the same disk the operating system's running on. Like if you boot, and if you have a dual boot system, you can, dual boot Windows and Linux or whatever. You can mount your Windows drives under or partitions under. You can't do that in NetWare.
Right.
So that was bonked, and I figured, well, we went back in and I had to reinstall NetWare now, and we had to, the way we have to get our backup back is we have to install NetWare, then we have to bring it up to the service pack that it was at, and then restore from back. We have to install the backup software and restore from backup off the tape. And I figured, well, you know, maybe I'll luck out and I'll be able to create a new partition, and by some weird stroke of luck, that partition will still have my SIS volume. So I created a new partition just called Hello. Or something. Help, it was called. And then I created the new SIS volume
on
the NSS.
Help, which is Dan's version of praying to God at that point.
Yeah, well, I named the server Idiot. in the tree Foolhardy. Well, anyway, the server went, after I reinstalled everything, the server came up and said it couldn't mount the help volume because the partition table was corrupt. Well, this is the same traditional partition that holds our volume 1, which is all the user data. And everything, and it was our library database was on volume 1, but volume 1 was still there, so everything was good. We got everything back a couple hours later. Everything was fine. We're doing good. So from home, I come home and I'm like, you know, I just want to get all these partitions transferred over. We now have extra some space left over. I'm just going to copy the volume one over into the new partition, new NSS partition. Sure enough, I start doing it, and all of a sudden, all these errors start coming up. It's like, like there's like, say, 8,000 files, and there's 8,560 errors. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. So it's like, do you want to rename the volume? I'm like, no, I don't want to rename the volume. So when you don't rename the volume, you still have all your information. It just does a copy. So it didn't rename the volume, and I figured, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to delete the new one that was created and do the process over again. So I'm done, and I think what had happened was I had the volume mounted on my Linux box, and because it was mounted, it wasn't transferring permissions over, something funky like that. You shouldn't do that. So I started to process over again, and right as I started to process, copying the original volume over to the new location, it said it was out of disk space. For some reason, I got rid of the new one, but it didn't free up that disk space. And then I learned that volume one had disappeared. It was at that point I said to myself, oh, crap, I just lost all their data. The librarians are going to be miffed. That was not a good thing. So luckily, before I had left, I had the new backup system, which runs on Linux. There I was able go, to see? Export the display back to my screen and run the client to restore volume one, but it was 4 days out of date. And technically, three of those days were school days. We had one snow day last week, but I was sweating bullets just until Tuesday morning when we told them that we had lost their data. Or 2 days worth of their data.
And you haven't been seen near the library since.
No, I didn't go. I went to another building.
He didn't go. He just sent him an email.
I sent Jim down there to do it. And the thing is, I'm like, Jim, all you got to do is say, look, we had a hardware failure over the weekend. We were only able to restore, from the 12th. But other than that, everything's fine, and it should happen again. But needless to say, we're at the new version of the OS. All the volumes are now the way they should be. And right as I was finished with everything Sunday night, I decided to delete the partition on the third drive that wasn't being used anymore. That was called Old Sys, and I got that warning. If you delete this, it was called Sys. The pool was called Sys, but the Sys volume wasn't on there. So if you delete this, you won't be able to boot your computer and your server anymore. I was like, no, I'll just down it and take the drive out and see what happens. And everything's been fine since. Woo, yeah. So that was my excitement. So what I learned from that is before doing any more of this volume copying stuff, make sure you get a good backup. Because
you said your new backup thing is running on Linux, right?
Uh-huh.
What are you running?
It's NetFault.
Some package we would have heard of?
It's NetFault, but it runs Backbone software. And we're having a problem with it backing up our NDS. And for some reason, it's clobbering our servers, and nobody's able to figure out why. After we run the backups at night, one out of our 11 servers ends up getting hosed, where it's up to 100% utilization. We have to reboot. People can't log in. So some funky things going on that nobody can figure out what it is.
Now, can I ask you a dumb question? How come you guys don't just use a Linux box with a giant disk on it and...
That's what we have.
Tar backups.
We have a Linux box with a giant disk on it.
Yeah, but just logging in and tar off the. I mean, that's what I do on my Novell server at work.
I've done that too. Right before I did the web server, I did that exact same thing.
And then I use I do incremental backups every day, and I use Find, and I grab every file that's younger than 4 days old. Every file that's younger than 4 days, I grab it and tar them all up using Find. And that's my... I do that every day as an incremental backup. But it's nothing but a thing. If you can get logged in as administrator on your volume, you just suck all the files off and tar them up, and that's a volume. And then you do... Because you really don't need it to... you really don't need your NDS stuff... Except for when you update it.
You know what I mean?
NDS is one other thing that you can back up, aside from all your servers, you usually back up NDS. I don't know how you would back up NDS.
You have to take the machine down. Take the machine down, and then, you know, take the machine down and slap in an OpEx disk.
But you can't mount the volume.
You don't have to mount the volume. All you got to do is mount the disk.
Right, but what am I going to do? Copy over DD over the entire disk?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could do that. But you know, yeah, we could copy it over. I'm not the one that's in charge. I'm not the one that's in charge of all this anymore.
Well, you know, if you had a good idea like that, maybe they would put you in charge, Dan. Come on.
Well, you know, I'm on a whole different field now. I'm in a whole different direction. You know, that's the other guy's problem.
He's into the leading volume.
Yeah, I'm not in charge of backing up. I'm in charge of destroying.
He and just wipe stuff now. That's all.
It's my business to destroy and delete, not back up. All right, that's somebody else's problem.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we have that ironed out. I feel much better.
Yeah.
Really? Want to feel?
I can feel it from here.
Okay.
Should I continue?
Yeah.
With other things?
Yeah, by all means.
That's where we're getting close to the end of the evening.
I have a couple more things I wanted to mention, but yeah, if you've got more stuff.
You talk too much already.
No.
Not at all.
All right. No, because if I don't talk too much, then, you know, people accuse you of being the only person on the show that talks, so I have to make sure that Alan and I have our due.
Who said that I'm the only person on the show?
See, now you're not paying attention. He does not pay attention.
He doesn't read email, that's why.
He does not read his emails. Because obviously you would know.
That's your buddy. That's my buddy, isn't it?
It's your buddy.
It's my buddy.
The ever-changing name, whatever it is now this week.
What name is he running this week?
Well, maybe if you'd respond to some of his emails, then he would think that...
Well, you know, I need a translator, man. Come on.
All right. I did talk about another thing here that I wanted to mention last week, and that was Apple. And here I am sitting in front of my Mac. It's Apple and their approach to their operating system in conjunction with OSS, or the free software approach to operating systems and software, where the Free Software Foundation, open source, they say release... often, what is it? Release. What is that saying? It's a release. Something about release something and release often.
Am I the only one that can hear the air whistle through his ears?
Yeah, air whistle. There's something. Well, I mean, basic concept is you update all the time. You keep releasing new versions,
right?
And you know, people keep testing them, and then eventually you get to a milestone release, and then you start the whole process and continue the whole process. Mm-hmm. So, I'll talk to you, baby.
You're being requested there.
So, I'm noticing that Apple's kind of going down this process, this way with their operating system, that they're really banging out new versions right and left. I mean, there was significant updates to Jaguar throughout the process of like 0.357, I think it was, and then 1.25, 6.7, all this, and then Jaguar came out. And one of the complaints I've heard is that people, particularly at the Bethlehem School District, I've talked to some people, and they were telling me that, man, they just keep knocking these versions out and updates and everything, and it breaks compatibility with old software, and we're scrambling around trying to fix something, and by the time we get it fixed, they bring out a new version and something else goes quirky.
Breaks something else, yeah.
But one of the funky things is I don't think it's going to work out that well, or there's issues with on the Mac side, is you end up having to pay for a lot of these updates.
Right.
And I don't think that kind of philosophy...
But that's on OS X, though. OS X. Excuse me.
Right, OS X. But then you have, you know, as they continue to release frequently, then you have, like, Macromedia and all these other companies that are pretty big on the Mac side start releasing their stuff more often, or they have to fix their stuff so it's compatible with the newer versions. And you end up, all these Mac users and Apple users end up like, oh, my God, you know, they got to keep updating. And they got to keep shelling money out to update.
Yes, but I have the answer.
Well, I know, and you can spell your answer.
I have the answer.
But I'm just saying, it just doesn't seem to work on the commercial end as well as it does on the free software or the Linux end.
Right.
Because it just ends up costing such an incredible amount of money to keep it. And a lot of people complain about Windows
being a lock-in. And, you know, technically speaking, Mac, you don't have to keep updating, but Macophiles, that's all they want to do.
Sure.
You know, that core group of people.
Yes,
that,
but by,
that
by
10% of people running Mac want to keep going.
By the same token, if we are actually comparing Macintosh's proprietary software releases to Microsoft's proprietary software releases, I still believe that Macintosh is the better deal because I have seen both of them and used both of them. And while not everything may be absolutely perfect on the Macintosh, it is exceedingly hard to break your operating system on a Macintosh. And it is exceedingly easy to break your operating system when you're using Windows XP. I mean, pretty much Windows XP, you can open the browser up and, you know,
crash the whole thing.
And crash the system. It's very difficult to get that to happen on a Macintosh. So I would still say, I mean, and in fact, I still tell this to a lot of people that, you know, for my first and foremost thing is to get everybody running Linux if I can, or BSD, FreeBSD, or NetBSD, or something like that, free open source software. But there are some people who are just not qualified enough to be able to turn on a power button, and for those people, I wholeheartedly recommend that they get a Macintosh instead of something that would run Windows. But anyway, continue on. I mean to interrupt you, Dan.
You didn't mean to monopolize a conversation.
Yeah, I monopolize a conversation.
And then come in here with your holier-than-thou Linux speech.
That's right.
Because I don't know what you think this is. This is a tech show. This is just a Linux show.
Well, that's why.
Tech show.
That's why I promoted the Macintosh.
Oh, yeah, and I would rather, if I had to spend my money somewhere, I don't want to throw it to Microsoft. I'd rather give it to, you know, Apple as opposed to Microsoft. But even more, I might as well just funnel it right into the, you know, the open source projects.
Right.
I'll tell you what, speaking of open source projects, I downloaded the beta copy of OpenOffice 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's release candidate 3 for the OS 10. Oh, my God. It's a world above and beyond the older version, and the fonts look beautiful. It works great. It's faster. It's great because I write stuff in it. I was writing an article for a newsletter at work, and I send it to my boss in the Microsoft format, and she sends it back to me. Like, she doesn't even know I'm using OpenOffice. That's what's beautiful about it.
What's so beautiful about OpenOffice, period, is,
well, yeah,
people really don't know that you're using something else.
And, you know, I'm going to keep doing that, and eventually I'm going to say to her, you know, look, you know, all this stuff I send to you, I do it in OpenOffice, and you don't even know.
Yeah.
It looks perfect. Woo! Woo! Yeah.
It's good stuff. Oh. Now, how you showed it to people who are comparing it to their current version of Windows Catastrophe Office? And what do they
have
think?
Have I compared it? Yeah. I haven't really sat down with people. I've been handing out the discs when I do my presentations that have OpenOffice on it, and everybody's like ooh and odd over the fact that it's a free office suite, and they can't, you know, they're like, wow, that's amazing, you know. So hopefully they'll start using it. I plan to do a little session on OpenOffice if I could sneak that in without my boss knowing about it, because she might be like, wait a minute here, maybe you should do something a little more relevant.
Something free? No.
Actually, I like to do converting PowerPoint presentations into Flash format or PDF format using OpenOffice. Because that's what I do. People send me PowerPoint presentations to put up on the web or something, and I just whip out OpenOffice. Whip it out right there. And convert it into either a HTML, you know, a compliant, something that'll run on every browser, or a PDF or a Flash, and it, you know, Flash format. And that, all three of them I could do. Wing ding a ling. It's great.
Wing-ding-a-ling.
Bam. Cool. Wing-ding-a-ling.
Wing-ding-a-ling.
Bam. Wing-ding-a-ling.
Yeah, we have to start getting a sound effects box.
Wing-ding-a-ling.
Well, we had them in one time, but we keep...
Yeah, they crashed the...
crashed the server, so...
We can either do our own sound effects from our mouth, or we can crash the server and laugh about it.
The problem is not the sound effects from your mouth, Dan. It's the other ones that you generate that we have a problem with.
That's not just sound effects. That's smell-o-vision.
What's different about tonight?
It's when we all start talking. You know, you'll notice that that's what's happening when Alan and I both start talking about, we both start talking
the show toward the window.
We're on, you know, Star Wars or something. Darth Fezzenden.
Yes, in the next edition of the Tech Show.
You know, hey, it's been pretty free of malodorous taint in here tonight. All right, and I have bean soup for dinner.
Well, maybe you just had enough to bind you up this time. It'll hold you over until you're hanging out in the bedroom with your wife.
You know, it's funny. It was a good one last week. You know, Jim and I were sitting in the office, man. We were stinking that place up, and our boss walks in. Sitting down to do some work, and nobody said a thing. The place stinks, and she didn't say anything. She kept her cool, didn't say anything. I'm like, oh, man, I pity her.
She'd give her, like, a certificate or something.
I got this, like, cloud of nauseous vapors all around me. And she comes over right next to me to start talking. So, you know, as she's approaching me, I get up and walk across the room so she doesn't have to stand in my stench. But that's what you get for coming in our office. And you don't belong there.
Hey, well, you know, I wholeheartedly agree. It's good for you. You know, what are you going to do if you hold that in all day long? You know what I mean? And people say it's like a guy thing to fart. It's not a guy thing. Everybody does it. Tell me somebody who says they don't fart, and I will show you a liar. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
With life, there's gas.
Yeah. Like,
you want to hear something real? This is terrible.
So what if you?
This
you know,
is
IT
terrible.
Department needs extra ventilation in there.
When I was growing up, my mom had to take this medication that gave her such horrible gas.
And now we know who you get.
And the funny thing is,
was this before she got pregnant with you?
No, this was. It's kind of sad, but the medication also had another side effect. That she was very sensitive to smells, and you know,
oh,
like
no way.
Dog food and cat food and stuff like that. When you open the can, would gross her out, the kitty litter. So she'd end up having all this bad gas, and then she'd start gagging from it. It was like
That's
a double
horrible,
whammy,
man.
Like both ends. the medicine just killed her with that. It was so funny, man.
It's sure cruel, dude.
Oh. I should have just said it with somebody
I know. No, he's like telling nasty stories about his mom.
Well, yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, I hope, you know, as they progress with the medication, I hope they took those side effects away.
One of them side effects has got to lessen a little bit.
It's like, you know, well, do you want to die or do you want to lose your life? What kind of side effect do you want there?
There's a meeting request here for a social meeting here.
Oh,
Robsville Inn. I'm not sure where that is, though.
It's in Robsville.
That would have been in Robsville, yeah.
I know it was Robsville, but I don't know exactly where that is.
That's like if you go and hit Easton,
that's
and you drive down 611,
okay,
a couple
okay.
of towns, you get to Robsville there.
Okay, that's where I thought it was, but I wasn't...
It's pretty much just go down Easton and follow in the river, and they'll pick you out. When you get
to picked out, if it's
to
if,
catch
if,
you
think
down
the
there.
Inn there, you get picked out right by the inn.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the free bridges around there.
Is it in Easton?
No,
it's
in Robsville. That's what they said. Is the Robsville Inn?
Yeah,
south of Easton.
It's south of Easton.
Down 611. Yeah.
Oh, is. Did we pass it when we
one stop?
Didn't we go down 611 or something one time for
611 South?
Yeah, weren't we coming up 412? Where did we go that time? Was that was a BC Lug meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we came up 611 to 412 or something, and well, no, we just went right.
And we went up all the way up 611, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would have had to pass Robsville.
That's a horrible drive, isn't it? It's like
well,
highway.
It's better than sitting on traffic.
90 degree turns. Out in the middle of nowhere. There's just like that whole section of Pennsylvania between New Jersey and 611. Now, what the heck is out there? What
Ringing
is
Rocks.
Out there? What?
Ringing Rocks.
Is Ringing Rocks out there? I haven't been there in a long time.
611, yeah. I can't remember exactly where it is off the top of my head, but I know it's down 611 there.
Does 611 cross over into Jersey, or does it continue to hug the Pennsylvania border?
It goes right down to Philly.
No, north.
I think it does go into Jersey. Doesn't it go into Jersey?
No, because
no,
if you follow north,
it goes up to the Delaware water gap.
No, it doesn't.
It goes up that way.
It goes up that way. Goes up what way?
Toward the Delaware water gap.
Oh.
Because I know I take...
So then it does it hug the river?
Yeah, it's pretty much... It's pretty close to the river, yeah. Because I do that on a bike in the summer a lot of times.
To the Delaware water gap?
Yeah, go up there. 611 up to the Delaware water tap. Cruise around up there for a little bit.
On a dirt bike or a mountain bike?
A motorcycle.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't...
As you can tell, I'm not really the mountain biker.
I just was curious. Because I never heard you talking about mountain biking before. I didn't know. I guess you did tell us about dirt bikes.
I don't look now like that I used to be a biker, but I used to be a biker too. So. But anyway, like we're boring the hell out of some of these.
Wait, what kind of bike? Are you talking about a mountain biker?
No, I'm talking about a motorcycle.
Oh. Am I the only one that used to... get out his 10-speed and ride around?
No, I used to do that, too, but, like, I grew up.
I still do, but...
Hey.
I grew up, but then I got a license.
There's nothing wrong with riding a bike.
We got to get going, folks.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Is it that time already?
It's 22:06, according to my clock. And being that it is that time... I just want to tell all you guys listening out there, thanks for listening to the Tech Show. Again, this is Tech Show number 16 for us. This is a milestone. That means 4 months we've been doing this stuff. In fact, it's been even longer than that because we had a couple weeks off for Christmas and New Year's. So four and a half months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but we didn't do anything those.
No,
two
but
weeks.
We, you know,
it's the time
going
period.
Four and a half months later. But anyway, we've done four months worth of episodes, 16 episodes, and we want to thank you for listening and encourage you to listen every single week. Catch us live if you can. That's Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the U.S. East Coast.
Which I think it's like 3 o'clock UTC, I think it is.
Something like that. Yeah, you can catch us. Go to our website, thelinuxlink.net/TLLTS and follow the links for the archives if, of course, you cannot make it to listen to us live. And if you can, there's instructions right on that page to do so as well. Again, thank you. My name is Link.
I'm Alan. Thanks for listening.
Dan, thank you very much. And don't forget about the Linux World Expo.
Yes, don't forget about the Linux World Expo. Wave to us if you find us at the expo. We'll be there on Friday between what time? We're going to be there the whole time, right? Open and close?
How many hours do we have?
We have 10 hours, and we start at 7:30 in the morning.
I think we usually leave around 2:30.
So we get 6 hours at the show, right? 2 hours up, 2 hours back.
The show doesn't open up until 10.
Why do we leave so early every year?
Well, because it takes us an hour to get down there.
And then we stand in that place for 45 minutes.
Or does it open at 9?
It's 9 or 9:30, but you never know what the traffic is going to be.
It's usually like half an hour after we get there, but it takes everybody time to get through the, get their badges and all that crap. Anyway.
You should have your badge on you now. Didn't you get yours in the mail?
I did get it in the mail.
All right.
But anyway, meet us there. Wave to us if you find us. Let us know who you are. We'll say hello. Thank you for listening again. Have a good one. And
thank you.
We'll hear you. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace out.
See you next week.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.